I too want to thank the Ross family. In the novel Beloved by Toni Morrison, there is a line that gets repeated often about being given the occasion to lay down our sword and shield and to be back together, to come back to the family. So I thank you for bringing us all together today. It is a uniquely, to me, humbling experience to be here in this crowd of witnesses and cloud of saints. I bring to the Ross family the warm feelings of the Industrial Areas Foundation, the cabinet, and the organizers in the 14 states where the IAF is presently organizing. When I was 24, I met Fred, and I was thinking last night that when I met him, he was the age I am now. So there's about 28, 30 years have passed. And many times I say, I think this is enough. I think we should hang this up. And then I remember something that Fred said. He said, you know, John L. Lewis started organizing the CIO when he was 58. So, damn it, Fred. Fred's roots were not in the Industrial Areas Foundation. Saul David Alinsky grew the IAF in soil that had already been tilled by Fred. In many ways, the vision of Fred Ross preceded that of Saul Alinsky. Now, we have Saul David Alinsky's writings to remind us over and over again what some of those universals of organizing are. And I can't wait to see the writings of Fred Ross Sr. And then I think we have a very full picture regarding the universals of organizing. Some of those universals of organizing are very much alive in the work that all of you are doing, certainly in the work that Fred Jr. and Neighbor to Neighbor is doing, and very much alive in the Industrial Areas Foundation today. I was thinking what some of those universals were, and I got up to about 12, and I said, I can't give them all 12 because they're gonna, well, we all have, as we age, you know, we don't have the same kidneys we used to have, so we can't sit here forever. So I tried to boil it down to three, and then I was looking for a paradigm that would describe those three. And the paradigm is in the Old Testament. But when I got to the motel last night, I realized I didn't have my Bible with me, but there was a Gideon's Bible in the motel. And I thought that probably somebody could use the rest of it, but I would take this much. And I asked my bishop, Chris Hartmar, if he would forgive me for this. But if you'll bear with me for 1 minute, I want to read you a story about the work of a great organizer, Moses. You remember, Moses had got the people out in the wilderness, and he had to walk them around for 40 years so they would forget that they were out there looking for milk and honey. And after he kind of wore out that first generation, then he could build a nation. And the people wanted to go back, and they began to murmur. And they said, if only we could have some meat. In Egypt, when we were slaves, we used to eat all the flesh we wanted, and it cost us nothing. Remember the cucumbers and the watermelons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic we had. But now our strength is gone. There's nothing all day to eat but this manna. And Moses heard all the people complaining as they stood around in groups at the entrances of their tents. He was distressed because the Lord had become angry with them. And he said to the Lord, "Why have you treated me so badly, and why are you displeased with me? Have you given me the responsibility for all these people? I didn't create them. I didn't bring them to birth. Why should I have to carry them in my arms like babies all the way to the land you promised to their ancestors? Where could I get enough meat for all these people?" And they kept whining and murmuring. They kept asking for meat. "I can't be responsible for all these people by myself. It's too much for me. If you're going to treat me like this, then have pity on me and kill me right here." I hope I brought the right pages here. The Lord said to Moses, this is the important part, "Assemble 70 respected leaders who are recognized as leaders of the people and bring them to me in the tent of the presence and tell them to stand there beside you. And I will come down and speak with you there, and I will give some of the spirit I have given to you to them. Then they can help you bear the responsibility for these people, and you will not have to bear it alone." So Moses went out and told the people what the Lord had said, and he assembled the 70 and placed them around the tent. The Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to him, and he took some of the spirit he had given to Moses and gave it to the 70 leaders. And when the spirit came on them, they began to shout like prophets. And suddenly the Lord sent a wind that brought quails from the sea flying 3 feet above the ground, and they settled on the camp all around for miles and miles in every direction. So all that day and all that night and all the next day, the people worked catching quails, and they spread them out to dry around the camp. Now, I was there, and I want to demythologize this. When Moses went out into the desert to talk to God, he really didn't go to talk to God. He went to talk to Fred. And Fred said, "Moses, I have explained this to you time after time. Call a house meeting." And so the universal is wrapped up in that one lesson. I would just like to point to three universals for all of us who organize and those of us who struggle. First, that one leader, even charismatic Moses, can't bag enough birds for the whole multitude. That collective leadership saves us, and that is the lesson of Fred Ross Sr. Two, that the power of the collective is possible only when ordinary leaders, let's say neighbors, are back in respectful relationship. And in a time of language such as ethnic cleansing, don't we need to be back into respectful relationship? And finally, there is the iron rule, the universal of the iron rule. And I believe this is the most important lesson that Fred taught me and all of us. The iron rule is this. It is the flip side of the golden rule. The golden rule is that if you see someone in trouble, then you should always be there on their side. And if their ox is in the ditch, you should help them pull it out. You're always your brother or sister's keeper. But the iron rule is, Fred's rule is, you should never, never do for others what they can do for themselves. And that is the power of Fred Ross. He taught us how to do for ourselves. Now I'd like to close what I have to say the way I think Fred would have. I think he would have said something to the effect, "I want to thank Mr. Delancey for the use of his house this evening." And I appreciate the fact that Mrs. Delancey and the others work so hard to provide the refreshments. And next week I'll be coming back through here, and I think that there will be time for about 35 or 40 house meetings. So I would like to see those of you who want power and want to change this circumstance to raise your hand, and we'll meet with me after the meeting. I'll get your phone numbers and your addresses, and we'll line up 40 house meetings for next week. Would you raise your hand?